next item, RE89, which is an action item. It's relative to a policy restricting university acceptance of funding from the tobacco industry. Regent Morris, you want to take the lead on that?
Yeah, thank you very much. We've asked Professor Stan Glantz to give us a brief presentation about why this policy should be adopted. Stan is a professor of medicine and cardiology at UCSF and is a leader and pioneer in the area of research into the effects of smoking. In 1994, it was Stan who received a box of 4,000 pages of secret tobacco industry documents from Mr. Butts, and working with the UCSF library, posted them on the internet. It was Stan who wrote the landmark 1995 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, which showed that the tobacco industry knew nicotine was addictive and caused cancer 30 years ago. He followed it up with the book The Cigarette Papers, which has played a key role in the ongoing litigation surrounding the tobacco industry. More recently, it is his research that has showed that the effects of secondhand smoke on the heart is nearly as large as those of smoking. His research in this area was identified as one of the top research advances for 2005 by the American Heart Association. For his tireless efforts in finding the tobacco industry, he is considered by many to be, in the words of our provost, Rory Hume, a national treasure. Not surprisingly, Stan's work has attracted considerable attention from the tobacco industry, which has sued the Regents unsuccessfully twice in an attempt to stop his work. Professor?
Well, thank you, Regent Morris. I really appreciate the honor of being invited to address you on this important issue. I just have to say, I chaired the Budget Committee last year for the Senate, and I urge you all to read the Futures Report. It is the long-term projection you're asking for, or at least the beginning. I know it's off the subject of this item, but we worked very hard, and I think you'll find it's a very scary document. To the point at hand, this is a seal of the University of California, and the university's motto is "Let there be light," and that's what the university is about. It's about truth. It's about light. It's about enlightenment, and this is formally stated in the university's mission statement from the OP website. The university's fundamental mission is to discover knowledge and disseminate it to students and the society at large. If you have to ask the question, why does the tobacco companies fund research? Well, we have, as you heard, 50 million pages of their previously secret internal documents at UCSF, so we know exactly why they do things. And this is a very a clear statement. Doubt is our product, since it is the best means of competing with the body of fat that exists in the mind of the general public. It is also the means of establishing a controversy. The tobacco industry funds universities to confuse things, to slow down the development and appreciation of knowledge, to slow down the transmission of knowledge. And there is no question but that they have been very, very successful at this. And that is why the university, the Regents, should decline to take their money. It's not because even that they kill people. It isn't even because they kill 5 million people a year. It isn't because they're politically disagreeable or unpopular. I've taken lots of politically disagreeable and unpopular positions. As you've heard, I've been sued, or you've been sued, on my behalf a couple of times because of it, and for which my wife and I love you and the general counsel. Especially Chris Patty. I don't know if he's here or not, but we view him as Superman. The reason that you should not be engaged with the tobacco industry is because they use universities against universities' fundamental mission. That's the problem. And if there's no question but that some of the research the tobacco companies have funded over the years has been very good research. Some of it has won Nobel Prizes. But if you step back
and take your glasses off, like me, when you can hardly see, and ask yourself the question, if the tobacco companies had never funded a penny of academic research in the last 50 years, with our understanding of the diseases caused by smoking, would the public's understanding of those diseases be further along than it is today, and would there be fewer people who died as a result if the universities had not accepted money from the tobacco companies since the 50s? And there is no question, but that the answer to that question is yes. And so if the university as an institution is committed to the pursuit of truth and enlightenment, you should not be working with these guys. Now, as you heard in the public comment period, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe the academic research that's been done. We have a federal judge who just finished a case, went on for 8 years. The trial went on for 8 months. It was the largest civil racketeering suit in the history of the United States, and the judge ruled that the tobacco industry constituted an illegal enterprise to defraud the public. And the word enterprise is a technical legal term usually applied to organized crime and the mob. That the fraud is continuing and likely to continue into the future. That's a very important finding. They have not reformed. They are not the new, warm, cuddly Philip Morris they pretend to be. And if you read Judge Kessler's ruling, which I have, because I don't know what else to do at night, it's 1,700 pages long. The creation of the Council for Tobacco Research to fund university research was the first element of the fraud. It's on page 18 of the 1,700-page ruling. It's absolutely central. The Philip Morris External Research Program, which is the agency currently funding the university, the agency you are currently accepting funds from, is specifically identified as part of the illegal enterprise and cited as a reason that the enterprise is continuing. And so basically we have a bunch of convicted racketeers funding work here as part of, but don't you smile, but this is the legal situation. And the judge actually calls out four specific projects as evidence of the ongoing fraud. Three of them are done by consulting firms. One of them was at UCLA. This is not the kind of thing that builds the reputation of the University of California. Now, even before Judge Kessler's ruling over the last few years, many, many other academic institutions have decided to decline tobacco industry funding. And this is a partial list. These are the ones I happen to be able to find out about a while ago. There's more. This is a worldwide effort that has been motivated by what we've learned about how the tobacco companies manipulate universities from all these secret documents. Well, what's the situation at UC today? Several years ago, several different units around the university had discussions among their faculties and decided to decline funding from the tobacco industry. You heard about the one at the Berklee School of Public Health this morning. These were discussions that were expensive, hotly debated, and generally passed by strong majorities. That those policies were overruled by UC system-wide. At this point, the University of California is the only academic institution in the world, which prohibits its schools of medicine, its schools of public health, its schools of nursing from following Harvard, Hopkins, the University of North Carolina School of Public Health, and declining tobacco industry funding. This is not the kind of unique moniker we'd like to see associated with the university. And this is an issue which has been hotly debated in the faculty for 4 years, and the faculty have basically tossed this to the regents. And I bumped into President Dimes out in the hall. I actually have a copy of the May 11, 2005 resolution I can read to you, but basically there is no strong consensus in the faculty on this one way or the other. If there was, we wouldn't be having this meeting. This would have been resolved as it was in other universities at lower levels. The academic senate position, when this was tossed back to the senate last fall, I'm still on the academic assembly, basically says three things. The first of all, the assembly reiterated the May 2005 position that this is a matter to be decided at a system-wide level by the region. Secondly, and I left a little bit of preparatory material off, they said regental intervention on the basis of assumptions about the moral or political standing of the donor is unwarranted. Now, there's no question in my mind that some of the people who proposed this wanted this to be read as an instruction to the regents not to act. Okay? I know that's what they think. But the fact is, they didn't have the courage to put that out and put it to a vote of the faculty. And personally, as one of the people who's been leading the charge on this issue, I agree with this statement. Regental intervention on the basis of assumptions is the key word, about the moral or political standing of the donor is unwarranted. The regents should not be willy-nilly making decisions like this. There should be a very high bar for a decision like you're being asked to make. And I think the way the policy's been drafted, it sets a high bar in terms of future precedent. And I agree with that. But we're not talking about assumptions here. We're talking about a massive academic literature, a massive federal court ruling, and 50 million pages of evidence here at UCSF. The second thing is the academic assembly declares its deep disapproval of funding arrangements in which an appearance of academic freedom belies an actual suppression of academic freedom. And if you study the industry documents, you see that these companies are very good at pretending to support academic freedom. They don't advertise that the projects they fund were cleared by lawyers. They didn't identify that the peer review process was only used some of the time. And the most important thing, in my view, is the assembly asserts its conviction that past funding arrangements involving the tobacco industry have been shown to suppress academic freedom. Okay, that, to me, is the most important statement. Academic freedom, as an issue, has been thrown around in these debates endlessly. It's an important principle. And by the way, if you read the university's policy on academic freedom, and if you read President Atkinson's essay on what that policy means, the word money does not appear. The word funding does not appear. It's about free speech and intellectual freedom. And I, for one, and I know there are others who would come up with what I view as contorted counter-explanation, I do not see how, in the face of a factual finding by the Academic Senate that the tobacco industry's funding of university research has suppressed academic freedom, how you can then argue we should keep taking the money to defend academic freedom. Another argument which you hear, and we heard last September, is the famous slippery slope. Well, that's the same argument that was raised in 2001 when the regents divested their tobacco stock. You know, I think a few of you were around then. You haven't divested every other corporate stock you own. In fact, I don't think there's been any further divestment. There are many, many other academic institutions around the world that have made a decision to decline tobacco money over the last several years. None of them have slid down the slope. And as I said earlier, the proposal, as Regent Morris put it forward, working with the General Counsel's office, is very tightly worded and narrowly worded in a way that creates a very high bar for it being used as a precedent in the future. Now, the whole argument, I happened to get an email from Faye Crosby, who is the chair of the UCSC division of the Senate, who put this whole argument into what I thought was very simple English. We Indians like to stay warm. generally, blankets keep us warm, so it's good to get blankets. But we are banning blankets from this guy, Jeffrey Amherst, and his cronies. And for those of you who don't know who Jeffrey Amherst is, he's the guy who gave the Native Americans blankets infected with smallpox. University of California is a great institution, and we simply don't need to be in bed with these guys. And I would urge the Regents to act on Regent Moore's suggested policy and put this issue behind us and move on, and move us back into a position of leadership. Thank you.
Thank you very much.